Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hello, hello. Episode number 57, Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
What's up?
Back up in this motherfucker.
57.
Party time.
It's a beautiful 50 day. Tyson. No, 57. Yeah, man, it's an awesome day out. It's been a hot week out. I went out this week and I went shooting with my buddy Garrett and got sunburned as
Yeah, saw that.
And now my face is peeling off like a leper. Some true death metal. I need to find some kind of like metal songs that relate to that.
Like, looks like you got some leprosy going on there.
There you go. Exactly. How about we'll play Pantera Shedding Skin later and
okay.
There's gotta be some dude, there's gotta be like
Burnt
a bajillion.
By the sun?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a bajillion of them out there. So we'll figure it out, man.
We could just spend the whole podcast making bad puns about skin falling off.
Yeah, exactly. Skinless, play some skinless later.
There you go. Alright.
We could go on and on and on. How was you guys' week, man? I don't know. Let's start with you, Kevin.
It was pretty good. Just working a lot. Went and saw Crowbar, and they were super heavy.
Bringing the
heads. Yeah, man. Crowbar, of course, in town with Battlecross. Got to check out Battlecross a little bit, but Crowbar, they almost played a lot of like B-sides, more like their less maybe famous songs, if you were to say that.
Okay.
And it was awesome because they played some stuff from their Life's Blood for the Downtrodden record, which, I don't know, I personally, it's one of my favorite Crowbar records, and it was awesome.
Man, they actually did a really cool thing on the event page, too. They posted up, hey, could somebody please bring us a Soundgarden DVD to the show? Like, we want to watch some Soundgarden DVD, and my flannel's ripped, so somebody could bring me a fresh flannel.
And weird.
In Seattle.
Yeah, I guess.
Somebody probably did, I bet.
Well, a bunch of people were just like, yeah, funny joke, man. And it's like, no, we're like dead f***ing serious. Like, bring us.
Right.
Bring us the
thing
stuff.
Is, though, they're like parked right down the street from Singles Going Steady. Just go grab one.
Yeah, go walk one. Yeah.
You probably go get one from Target.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, though, man. I'm assuming somebody probably brought it to him, and the Crowbar people seem like they'd be cool enough to hook him up with some merch, so.
Yeah, well.
I'd like to think.
When in Rome.
Yeah, man, might as well.
Yeah, the only thing that stopped me from going to that show was like the second degree burns on my legs and face and arms.
Yeah. I got that text gnarly. And got a pretty good chuckle out of that.
I was just like, no, I wanted to go, dude, but it just makes you super sleepy. Like, yeah. I went to bed at like 9 o'clock. Both nights after that.
Aged by the sun.
Yeah, literally. Don't do it. They say that every time you get a gnarly sunburn like that, your risk for melanoma goes up 15, I guess exponentially 15 times. Not 15%. 15 times the risk.
Jeez. I was about to say 15%.
Yeah, 15% is not, well, I mean, that's bad, but 15 times your normal limit? Just put on some SPF, man. It's worth it. Because I feel like a real piece of shit.
That'll happen.
Yeah, I had a good week, man. I went out shooting. I went camping. That's what we did. And I just forgot to wear it. And it's the second day that really rocked me, that really hot day that we had this week.
See, whenever I'm going outside, like going hiking or camping or something, when I know it's going to be really sunny outside, I wear a big dorky dad hat, like one of the big sun hats.
There you go.
And yeah, everybody always tosses me shit for it, but... F it, man. My face doesn't get burnt, and I look like a badass with the big beard and the hat. You know?
You wear a big hat, and literally no part of your face is exposed to the sun.
Exactly. It's
like you are completely covered.
That's great.
From head to toe.
Dude, I do have to tell you, you can get sunburnt underneath the beard.
Yeah, I got sunburnt on my scalp.
That sucks, man. Yeah. That's no good.
Although, even just this slight scruffle protected that part of my face.
Yeah?
It's just my forehead and my nose, really. Mm-hmm. It's got the worst of it. So I've been trying to stay out of public and not scare little kids.
With your leprosy?
Yeah.
Exactly. Skin disease falling off?
Exactly. But well, it's cool, man. I got a new gun this week.
Tight.
Just tell us about your gun.
I got a SIG 938, which is, I think, my new concealed carry gun.
Cool, man.
It's the exact same gun that I had before, but a bigger caliber. So it's a 9mm instead of a 380.
Nice, man.
And I was experimenting, like, as a gun owner and an owner of my concealed carry permit or whatever, a new thing where, like, you know, most concealed people carry their gun, like, in their waistband. They have, like, a little in-the-waistband carrier.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been super uncomfortable for me. I hate it. Yeah. It's the worst. Like, it digs into my hip bones right there. So right now I have a big fat bruise from trying to pull it off, and I just don't get it, man. Like, I have a shoulder holster that I carry mine in like a detective. Like Pulp Fiction. Like, I'll pull my 1911 out and bring the wrath down like Samuel motherfucking Jackson, bitch.
There you go. That's super cool, man.
But yeah, I don't get how people do that, man. I tried to do it again today. I can't pull it off. Don't expect me to pull my gun out from my waist.
Man, there were so many
come at me.
There's so many good shows that came through this last week that I didn't get to go to, but that's okay because I was busy at home screwing around with some really cool stuff. I just got some new ADDAs, and so I'm really happy.
What does
about
that mean?
That.
You need to explain
audio,
that to us.
Audio digital to audio, so it's new converters for the studio. I'm pretty stoked about that, and I got a bunch of preamps in, so I've been kind of doing shootouts.
You've been playing.
Comparison
you have been mad scientisting, and
yeah, man.
I can tell just by the look on your beard.
I'm pretty.
You've been tinkering with your fingers down in this basement.
It's been a good time.
Has it improved everything?
Yeah, man, I'm pretty jazzed about it. Just a couple more parts to go, and all the sound treatment stuff's on the way. So it feels good to finally be on that final push.
So when do you think your battle station will be fully operational?
I don't know, man. Tentatively 2 months. And I know I said that a long time ago.
Yeah,
but it's
like we've been waiting
closer
for the pound record too.
Yeah, man. No, it's just about ready to go. I'm pretty stoked about it. It's nice to finally be back on track and making progress.
Have you started planning on any bands that you want to have coming? Have you like made any solid plans yet or are you just waiting till have everything in place before you start booking?
Well, I've got a couple bands that I'm working with right now out of a couple other different studios around town.
Because I know
cool.
you were doing Numb.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're working on your own band.
Mm-hmm.
What
and,
else?
I have four other ones that I'm not going to mention off the top until things get further along.
Come on. That's why we have you in here, man.
But yeah, it's been
God damn you.
It's cool. I'm really excited to be moving things along. I'm stoked to have my own space, you know, and to do what I want with.
Oh, so you don't have to work with dumb fucking art students?
Yeah. Exactly. There's that and it's going to be nice not to have all that cash that goes to other studios when I have to record anybody, you know, that saves the band some money and a little bit of that goes into my pocket, so everybody kind of wins with that.
Well, yeah, a little bit of it goes back in, but then you spent however many tens of thousands of dollars on your fucking studio, so
yeah.
Maybe it'll pay for itself by the time you're 400 Methuselah.
Yeah, there you go. My beard will be down to my ankles.
Oh, it'll be longer than that. You really have a beard coming out your butt at that point.
Oh, man. Butt beard. Like trying to get peanut butter out of a shag carpet.
What? That's disturbing.
You get the segue of the week. Going into the news. Ryan has a shag carpet butt. Anyway, dude, there's a lot of weird stuff that went on this week. Let's start this week with the news that Metal Alliance Tour got canceled.
What?
That's strange.
How many years did Metal Alliance exist?
I think this is the fourth or fifth year.
So it was doing pretty good for a few years there.
Yeah, like the first year was Crowbar, Helmet, Kylesa,
right.
St. Vitus. Second year was like Job for a Cowboy, Dying Fetus.
Third year was Behemoth, Inquisition, 1349.
And then that makes this the fourth year.
Right. So usually most festivals like that, if they don't do well the first year, they don't come back. This year it took them 4 years to finally fall apart. So the news is this week that, the first thing that I noticed last Saturday, because Metal Alliance was on Saturday at Studio 7, we couldn't go because we're here doing Metal Shop.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing I noticed when they posted the set times is, where's Entombed? You know, they weren't on there. So Entombed got booted from the tour this year because of financial problems. Here is what Deicide posted on Facebook just yesterday. These are the final dates to this tour. We could have just said f*** this whole mess and been done with it. We don't do business like that and believe there is honor in finishing it not for ourselves but for the fans who deserve to see the band and who expect us to show up. This will be our last U.S. tour for a long, long, long time. Come on out and support these great bands. What happened with this tour is this. The agents put together a package that the local promoters had no faith in and couldn't afford, and we're all asking to cancel their dates. So to keep it going and finish it out, Entombed were told to go home, not by us, but by the agents that set up this tour so the local promoters could still do the shows. We're all in this mess together, and I can assure you we'll never get involved in anything ever or like this ever again. We had nothing to do with Entombed being kicked off the tour. Blame Metal Alliance. They're fucking mess.
Harsh.
That's rough, man. Especially because Metal Alliance was always such a cool tour, and it was always such a different flavor from year to year. I really hope that's not the end of it, but man, that
doesn't
look good.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. I guarantee it will be.
Bummer.
Because wasn't it something like the Decibel? Wasn't Decibel involved with it too?
I think so.
And like Decibel, Metal Alliance.
Century Media, looks like. Century
well,
Media,
yeah.
Seasons of Mist.
Deicide, and, of course. Yeah.
But, man, it's I'm not seeing a Decibel logo anywhere on this flyer.
Well,
man,
not
so.
The new one. Not anymore. Oof. It was Deicide, Hate Eternal, Black Crown Initiate, Lorna Shore. I can't read that super black metal logo. And Entombed AD. But what happened is they put together a package that was too expensive.
Yeah.
And so they had to just at the last minute be like, hey, 50% of the bill. Get out of here.
Go home.
You're not allowed here.
Hey, Entombed, go back to Europe.
You cost too much. Play for less money. And they were like, no. Okay, bye. So the day of the show, they were like, oh, by the way, they're not playing the tour. After everybody bought the fucking tickets to go see Entombed.
Yeah.
What they should have done is they should have just gotten axed out Black Crown Initiate and Lorna Shore and just kept
Yeah, they should have gotten rid of, well, I'm sure they probably weren't paying them anyway.
Eh.
They were probably just paying them enough to get from show to show. Mm. That's one of those bills where it's like, you're lucky enough to be playing with Deicide and Hate Eternal and Entombed.
Here's your $10.
Yeah.
And Glenn Benton will creep on you for a week.
Here's your $10 and your garlic bread for the night. Shut the fuck up and have a PBR. And be happy.
Be happy you're here.
So, I just wanted to see Entombed, and if I had paid for a ticket to see that, just to show up that night and find out they weren't playing,
I would have been pissed.
I would have been f***ing pissed.
Speaking of things that really pissed me off this week, 1349 went on tour without Frost, who was their drummer from Satyricon, and that's the main reason why I wanted to see that band to begin with. And they booked this whole tour, Frost didn't go on tour with them, and they didn't bother to tell anybody or let anybody know. And so I guess they apparently have the drummer from Job for a Cowboy playing drums for him. His name's Charn, I guess.
What? That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, he's already here in the States, so they're like,
Yeah, screw it.
Thing is, though, at least they still played. At least they still played their show.
No, I give them props for that, but Frost is the whole reason why I wanted to see that band to begin with, you know? So
it goes, man. I hope they'll be back around sometime.
Yeah.
All right, so it looks like Fear Factory is going to be coming out with their ninth studio record. It's actually called Genexus.
Genexus.
Coming out August 7th. And these dudes, it's been a couple years since they put something out. I remember their last one. It's going to be pretty heavy, pretty melodic. And these guys are going to be coming out with the new record. So they posted their album trailer. And let's take a listen.
Genexus is the next transition in human evolution. Ooh. As man moves forward to a mechanical state of being.
Where machines are human.
And humans are machines.
La 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 la.
This is the story of every one of us.
You're tripping me out, man.
Yeah!
30 seconds of a new song.
Available August 7th, 2015. Genexus by Fear Factory.
They should have just smash cut to Dino eating a baby.
This literally looks like a movie trailer. That's weird.
Yeah.
It's like The Matrix.
Genexus.
That sounded so Meshuggah-y.
Meshuggah-ish.
See, here's the thing. If there's going to be a trend in metal in this next 10 years or whatever, I'm so glad it would... It's leaning towards something like Gent than something like fucking nu metal in the 90s.
True.
I'm not even mad about that at all.
Just pointing it out, not complaining.
You're right. You're right. You're very right. What was that Papa Roach song that just came out that was all Genty?
Ooh.
And we were like, what the f***?
Some
seriously?
Gent. Papa Gent.
Some Gent riffs.
Papa Herbies.
Some Gent riffage.
Got it from my uncle. Take rescheduling their U.S. tour dates. They were supposed to be coming through in June, but they said, we're sorry to inform you, we've got the upcoming Take U.S. tour. It's being postponed. This is due to an unforeseen and serious issue with visa status, which is something you can't really argue. Immigration specialists are working to correct the matter as quickly as possible. We're doing our best to save the scheduled NYC shows and on rescheduling the rest of the tour. So if you like Take... I know, what's his name? Miles from Perception.
He's
super
obsessed.
Into that band.
Dude, and they were going to be touring with Wolfhammer. That band's heavy as hell.
He was like, finally, I get to see them. Sorry, dude. Maybe next time.
Peace.
Hate to burst your bubble, your little metal bubble.
So in the newest... In the newest edition of like bands making alcohol, Cataclysm is making a blonde beer.
I'd drink it.
Belgian brewer Etrupius... they've joined forces with Cataclysm, and they're going to have a branded beer. It's a specialty craft beer.
You see the alcohol content percentage?
I don't.
6.66%.
Cataclysm, St. Tarbarnock. 6.66 alcohol by volume. The Cataclysm beer. That's crazy. Order at cataclysmbeer.com.
I might have to. How do they ship that to you? Like, how does it not break in transit?
They just open up a beer and pour it in a manila envelope. Like, send
here is your beer.
Here's your beer. Be happy with it.
They're from Montreal, so it's not like that far. But
Maurizio, the singer, said, "It's a total honor of being asked to partake in such a project. We started with our own hot sauce to start the party for our new record release, and now we have the beer
That's
to go
tight.
With it. The music is coming this summer, and this is this." And all of this is for our fans. They deserve it.
Cataclysm, St. Tabernac, like an angel pissing on your tongue.
They got all the bases covered, I guess.
That's right. That's what it says.
That's their catchphrase. I'm into that. I'm into bands making wines and beers and like hot sauces and weird consumable shit. I think that's creative.
I'm still waiting to try that Pig Destroyer beer. It was hilarious reading all the reviews about that because it was all these like really fancy beer snobs were all saying, man, this beer is amazing. It's so incredible. And it's put out by this really weird band that I really don't like all that much.
What was the band?
Pig Destroyer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Slayer made a wine. Motorhead has a beer. Mastodon has a beer. I had the Trooper.
Doesn't Anthrax have a beer, too?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I thought they had wine or something.
Yeah.
Behemoth is making wine and vodka. Because Nergal is trying to open his own bar over there in Poland. Yeah. So we'll see about that. I think it's cool.
Nice.
It's called, you can order it at cataclysmbeer.com. Spell cataclysm like the band spells it with incorrect with K's.
Ugh.
Like an angel pissing on your tongue. All right. Bad news this week. Several bad news items this week. Let's just get through these, and it sucks to talk about. But actor, singer, heavy metal star Christopher Lee died this week at the ripe old age of 93, man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, man, this guy did a lot of shit. And that is obviously an understatement. This guy did a lot of stuff. He acted in over 250 movies.
Jesus.
The first time I ever saw him as a kid was as The Man with the Golden Gun.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
With Roger Moore. And it took me probably 10 years until, actually probably even more like 15, 16 years until Revenge of the Sith came out, the mm-hmm. Star Wars movie where he played Count Dooku, and I was like, that's the man with the motherfucking golden gun right there. You better look out, because he's going to fuck your shit up. But Yoda totally killed him, so. Or wait, no, Yoda didn't kill him. Anakin killed him. Anyway.
He was also Dracula, which is really sweet. He's well known for that role. Saruman in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And he was a huge metalhead. Like, even as an old man, he recorded his Charlemagne record into his mid to late 80s. He did a lot of stuff with Rhapsody of Fire. He did not necessarily a lot of the musical stuff, but a lot of the really creepy narratives, mm-hmm. like talking about the demons have crossed over the ridge, blah, 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 you know, mm-hmm. like in his Christopher Lee voice. And I think, let me see if I can pull up something that... This is... Let's see if I can skip to the part where it's going to be him talking. This is Rhapsody of Fire singing. Oh, here he is.
I know it is my fate. Bound to Arion's old tale. I'll be always there. Fighting the ancient sins.
When he was younger, before he was an actor, he was actually... His goal was to be an operatic bass.
Interesting.
He wanted to be a singer.
Huh.
So it makes sense to me.
Totally.
But this is them playing with like a 90-piece orchestra. This video is epic.
Rhapsody of Fire and Christopher Lee.
Yeah. And dude, he's easily in his mid to late 80s. He's old. Old ass man.
So epic.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, I think today in this podcast, the last one, I found a couple of pieces where I found him reciting the original 1982 Tim Burton poem of The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
So we'll play that at the end of the podcast, and then also him reading The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe.
Sweet, man.
Which is going to be creepy and awesome. So stick around if you're into that. We'll play it at the end of the podcast. Rest in peace, Sir Christopher Lee.
This past week, we actually had another passing of a man by the name of Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes.
The American Dream.
Son of a plumber.
Incredible wrestler, personality, a weirdo. And he, actually, what he was currently doing is he was training NXT stars down in Florida. His son is Goldust, and his other son is Cody Rhodes, otherwise known as Stardust. And real quick, I wanted to show a little promo that he's well known for. If we could take a listen to that, it's where he talks about hard times. This is his most well-known
Ladies
promo against Ric
Flair. Ladies and gentlemen, you all know that Dusty Rhodes has been injured. Well, we want to welcome back tonight Dusty Rhodes for his first interview since his injury. Here is the American
1985.
Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty,
American
your fans,
Dream. Rest in peace,
back,
man.
Age 69.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85 it is to the wrestling fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. and Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream.
American Dream.
With that weight, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work and got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times.
Hard times.
That's hard times. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard times. And we hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm gonna reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world. Now, reach it out. Because the love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues.
Yeah.
Dusty Rhodes Tour 85 and Ric Flair, Nature Boy. Let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm gonna take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm gonna take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real wolf champion. And I'm proud of you and thank God I have you. And I love you. Love you!
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Fans. Oh, Dusty.
Hard times coming your way.
Hard times coming your way.
Rest in peace, Dusty Rhodes.
Motorhead got a new song coming out. It's called Thunder and Lightning. They got a new record, which is rad, coming out August 28th. Follow-up to their Aftershock record from 2013. It's just a little bit of it. Sounds like Motorhead. Motorhead, man. Bad Magic's the name of the new record.
Sick. Motorhead's always fun to watch
live.
Glad
to see Lemmy still up and around, man, making magic. Bad Magic.
Between the Buried and Me, they premiered a new song this week called Famine Wolf. It's from the new record Coma Ecliptic. It's going to be out July 10th. Oh, never mind. June 10th is what I was thinking. But it's July 10th on Metal Blade Records, and Famine Wolf is available on their SoundCloud through Metal Blade Records.
Earth is going to be playing a few shows here in the Northwest. Ryan, did you work on that record, or you were there while they were doing it?
I was there while I placed a microphone.
Okay. you did work on it.
No, I wouldn't say. That was cool. That was really cool.
Look what I did. Look what I can do.
Yeah, Dylan and Adrian are both incredible people and some of the nicest people in the heavy music scene. So, man, go out and check out this band. The record crushes, and the band is really, really cool live.
Earth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're playing Olympia on July 19th at the Obsidian and then at the Black Lodge on the 22nd in Seattle.
Man, that's going to be cool. Earth at the Black Lodge.
I didn't know that Dylan and Adrian played in Earth.
Huh? Are you talking about two different Dylans and Adrians?
Two different Dylans and Adrians.
Oh, okay. Man. Sorry, my bad.
There's something about that name.
That's weird, yeah, because that's totally Bellwitch
as
well.
Yeah, right? I never thought about that.
Weird. Cool. Earth, man. Oh.
Earth, man.
Earth, man. Remember we were talking about that Slayer 7-pound metal record that's coming out?
Yeah, now they revealed what it looks like?
They revealed what it looks like, we know, but now they're telling you everything that comes in it. So it's not just like a piece of pewter that you can bash someone with. So all the stuff that's coming in here is it's going to be a deluxe digipack folding out into an inverted cross, of course.
Yeah.
So when the CD folds out, it's going to look like, I don't know, that'd be cool. Bonus Blu-ray and DVD featuring the Live at Wacken 2014 and Making of documentary, so you can see them play that. Bonus live CD Live at Wacken 2014, a fold-out poster, an album sticker, whatever that is, and a numbered certificate, plus the big-ass Slayer plaque.
God, look at that thing.
$189.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's f***ing fat, man.
$189 plus $50 shipping.
15 inches wide, 17 inches tall, so about, you know, a foot, a couple inches, foot and a half. Times 3 inches thick.
Damn.
So, Repentless, the new record, going to be coming out 9/11. 9/11! Get you some new Slayer. We need to get our hands on... We need to see what we can do, man. We need to break into some...
To get that new Slayer?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Let's do some pirating, like some dumb shit that our buddy that worked downstairs used to do. I'm not even going to say. But let's do it.
And some more sad news. I actually did not mention this last week, and I actually apologize to anyone who's listening and was maybe expecting something like that. But it was an amazing tattoo artist and a friend of Metal Shop, a listener of Metal Shop for years and years and years. His name is Kevin Black. He's from Tacoma, and he passed away and lost his fight to cancer just Aww. This past week. So shout outs to his family. Our thoughts are with you, as well as his good friend Eric Markley, who told me the news, and he wanted to hear maybe some Slayer, some Testament for him. So we'll be doing that on the show.
Cool.
And he was, like I said, a huge, huge metalhead and a Metal Shop fan. And he also was a proponent of medical marijuana. And he spoke a lot at Hempfest. He did a lot of the outreach to local to the community about that, and was a huge advocate of that. And so it's kind of a bummer to also see the medical marijuana thing in Washington dying as well.
Yeah, that's a whole other step of bullshit, but that's really sad to hear, man. I'm glad we'll talk about that little bit later on the show in more depth. Black Dahlia Murder's got a new record coming out. It's going to be called Abysmal, September 18th. They're doing a tour all through Australia with Psychroptic and Colossus. No word on a U.S. tour yet, but I'm sure they will be as the record's coming out, you know, right around September. So I'm sure it'll be October, November. They'll be doing some big U.S. stuff.
Sweet.
Keep you updated. It's been a while since we saw them.
Black Dahlia. So Sepultura is now streaming a single called Under My Skin, and it's on their new EP, Sepultura Under My Skin, which is kind of shows a lot of the Sepultura art out there that people have tattooed on their bodies. That Baldula.
I think you know how what Ryan and I feel about the new Sepultura.
And you.
Yes.
Baldula.
Lots of Sepultura tattoos out there, I'll tell you that. I gotta say, I think the coolest ones are the Roots cover with the native guy with the face tattoos.
That's wild.
Tattoos of a guy with tattoos, man. So, new Sepultura, there you go, you heard it.
Speaking of new music, Mutoin Band just premiered a new song. I love this band, and I'm super stoked that they're doing more stuff. And, this is Stephen Brodsky from Cave In, Ben Caller on drums from Converge, and Nick Gaggio on bass. So, heavy lineup.
Santos did all the artwork on this.
Mm-hmm.
Record's coming out June 30th. Sounds pretty cool. Song's called Thousand Mile Stare, new Mutoid band.
Yeah, and that this band gets heavy too. Really cool stuff. Check them out.
Sweet.
I'm That's awesome. Okay, so what the
Just read the title, dude. Do it.
Survey shows metalheads less likely to give you up, let you down, run around,
and desert,
desert you. So the study...
Never gonna give you up.
A recent survey about music shows that metalheads are the most loyal. And
in relationships.
In relationships. So here's a breakdown of the results by musical taste. Jazz, 19%. Salsa, 14%. Pop, 13%. Country, 12%. Rap, 9%, classical music, 8%, blues, 6%, reggae, 5%, rock and roll, 5%, electronica, 4%, indie, 3%, and heavy metal, 2%. Less likely to break your heart, apparently.
So jazz fans, I fucking hate jazz cats, jazz snobs. Dude, I used to play in jazz bands all through high school, and after that I played in a couple of combos. Nothing worse than a fucking jazz nerd.
Man, this list is really surprising, man. I thought the electronica and rap would be a little bit further up on the list. I figure all those rave kids would get all freaking goofy on some face drugs and be all down to bang whatever has a hole.
Now, that's probably where they find their partners. That's the intention, I'm sure. And then they bang a hole and they're like, this is the hole I want to keep.
Oh, well, there you go.
I like how later in the article it says the obvious joke to make here is that metalheads are loyal because they're lucky enough to find one person who would stoop to banging them, much less two.
Hey, that's f***ed up. That's probably partly true, though. Malevolent Creation. Remember about a year ago when we were like, hey, we're never going to play that band or even talk about them again because they say the N-word a bunch.
Well, going back on our word. Now,
well,
aren't we?
We'll talk about it just to reinforce the fact that they're still fucking assholes. So, just this week, I mean, like, when you're on Facebook and you're friends with your bandmates and you have people who are, quote, friends with you on both pages and you post as a bandmate to your other bandmate's page a fucking racist-ass picture and then start laughing about it, everybody else can see that shit too. And that's exactly what happened this week.
Oh, that's a pretty bad picture.
Philip Fasciana shared a photo to Jay Black's, quote, Facebook timeline this week that said, Mama, I need that picture. And it's a little black kid sitting in a bucket of fried chicken with a piece of watermelon that says, Obama, the early years.
What the fuck, man?
I mean, fucking seriously? So, I mean, after all the stuff that came out about their old interviews in 2005, 2006, 2007, and then in 2013 and 14, with them being outed again and not being added to any real tours, not putting out any real music, these guys are still up to their dumb fucking bullshit on the internet.
Speaking of bummer, there's a new story going around that Gojira is entering the studio in April, but they're not going to be putting out a record until 2016. So, got to wait some time till we hear
It'll
some new... Gojira, they make us wait, but they make us wait for good stuff.
All right, I don't know if I should talk about this right now because we have it. We haven't been greenlit. Oh, let me just put it this way: in the next couple weeks, we're gonna have a Summer Slaughter sweet package to give away. I'm gonna give you my package. It's gonna be a sweet package, and you're gonna love it. You'll be able to put your hands around it, and it'll send you places you've never been. So we've got a Summer Slaughter package coming your way in the next couple weeks. If you're smart enough to look it up online, you can find out what it is, because they're doing several of them, but we get one of them, and we'll be giving away on Metal Shop.
Damn.
My package. You want this package.
It's a pretty sweet package.
Ryan knows. Ryan knows all about the package. So Metal Sucks this week posted an editorial about why so many modern metal bands suck, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just that and the graphic they put on top, it's not that I'm old, your music really does suck. So it's three very simple points. I don't want to read their whole f***ing article, but I think they made three good points. And the first one is, nobody cares about taking risks anymore. Nobody's, brave enough to take any risks. I feel like, and I agree with that, and we can expound on that on our own. I think that a lot of the big metal bands right now used to be, and I don't want to name names because some of them are playing shows that we have things to do with in the future. Let's put it this way, Metallica. You know, Metallica used to be a risky band, dangerous band, singing
sure.
about death, singing about killing, singing about all this stuff. Not anymore. So nobody cares about taking risks anymore. The only one that does or says anything outrageous is Phil from All That Remains, and he's a fucking idiot. The second one is, we live in a culture that fetishes virtuosity and youth. I think that's a good point. The example they put here is the girl Tina S, who plays lots of like crazy, she's just like a young 14-year-old girl who plays just ripping ass songs and solos, doing Dragon Force Through the Fire and Flames. So people are obsessed with people who can just play fast. Doesn't really matter about how much songwriting ability they have. And that leads to the third point, which is people think that that musical chops only mean technicality. Kind of alluding to the previous point where musical chops mean, like, my favorite part about Pantera are the simple chunky-ass riffs that Dime wrote.
Okay.
And then him, like, just tossing a solo over it is cool. Be like, that's Dime soloing.
Yeah, totally.
But he's soloing over his own, you know, just that simple riffy stuff that's like the catchy shit. That's important about getting people hooked on music in general.
You know, we were talking about that just a week or so ago, not on air, but about how some of the most memorable metal riffs aren't the technical ones. Like,
right.
All the riffs that people think of when they think of metal and when they think of heavy music, it's never the technical stuff. It's always the super chunky stuff. Those are the ones that really get stuck in your head, and those
right.
are the ones that really lay the foundation for the whole effing genre, man.
I don't know. It's just, I don't necessarily agree with all of this, but I think those are three good points to just take into account. If you're a musician or you're just thinking about metal and music or critiquing anything in general about heavy anything. So, nobody cares about taking risks. You know, you used to have dudes like, people in the Sex Pistols getting up there, the dude from Rage Against the Machine climbing the tower and almost knocking it over at the MTV Music Awards. Just
totally.
Like, doing weird random shit that just flies in the face of people's, you know, aesthetics and priorities or whatever. We live in a culture that fetishes virtuosity and youth. Not only young people can write good music. People think that musical chops only mean technicality. I don't know. Three good points. Think about it.
I'm thinking. Ghost is back, and they're going to be going on tour. They're going to be apparently playing Seattle. Let me take a look here. Ghost, of course. Ghost BC.
Ghost BC.
It's called Black to the Future. They're going to be playing October
really?
20th at El Corazon. That's right. Black to the future.
Black to the Future.
Yep.
Cool.
Ghost. Going to be creeping us out again.
October 20th. Elko.
So Otep's Shamaya, Otep singer, was talking about how she was assaulted on stage. She appeared on the Metal Sucks podcast and gave an interesting interview where she was talking about according to staff and audience members, a man,
and this is from OTEP,
described as very large and belligerently drunk, was attempting to instigate fights before the show, including harassing OTEP's muscle man guitar player Aristotle. Later the man was seen throwing a young woman into the monitor board, which resulted in a disruption of sound during OTEP's set.
Really?
After the show, as OTEP was on stage inviting people to meet and greet at the merch table, the same man screamed and she was a and charged the stage. She instinctively struck his head with her microphone. He screamed to hit him again and lunged at her, and she struck him a second time.
Security then removed him
from the venue while he continued to scream insults.
Hit me again! All right.
At OTEP.
Donk.
So that's interesting. Good job, dude.
Yeah.
Don't be a bro.
All right.
Nobody likes him.
So the only reason I even want to talk about this at all is because there is a certain power and inherent trust that's handed over to people who are behind a microphone on a stage, because you're the one with the mic. You get to do and say what you want. You're the front man. You're the fucking famous guy. Everybody looks at you, blah, blah, blah. The only reason I want to talk about this guy from the band Falling in Reverse, this guy, Ronnie Radke, who's been allegedly accused of being a rapist, basically. So here's what happened. So according to AP, Alternative Press, they're reporting that Falling in Reverse frontman Ronnie Radke has filed a civil lawsuit against his accuser, Casey Boswell, the 25-year-old Utah woman who last week publicly accused him of rape. He's seeking monetary compensation for damages against his reputation, but they don't have a dollar amount. So Radke admits he had a casual, intimate relationship with Boswell, that she was on Falling in Reverse's tour bus. Shocking. And even that Boswell, Radke, Radke's bodyguard, and a friend of the band's all got in one car together to drive to a local bar after the show. But of course, Radke's version of the story claims that there was never any impropriety from his part. From the AP article, and I quote, "While en route, according to the complaint, Radke decided that Boswell was seriously intoxicated or otherwise debilitated in some manner. Radke told Boswell that, instead of going to the woodshed, Radke wanted the car to take Boswell either to a hospital or to her home. Boswell refused to go to a hospital, instead providing the name of an intersection at the location where she wanted to go. Once at the intersection, Boswell initially refused to leave the car. Bateman had to secure her exit from the vehicle, so they dragged her out of the car. Boswell then sat on the curb, awake, coherent, and operating her phone. Radke says his driver called the police and a passerby offered to stay with Boswell. The claim alleges that Boswell indicated she lived nearby, so the car drove off, only to return shortly afterward to find her lying down on the ground." So, let's read through the f***ing lines here. So this guy, who's a piece of s***, invited this drunk-ass girl up onto his tour bus, which happens in every city.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of these s***y feuds and every one of these f***ing bands who finally decides, hey, we have a tour bus. It's impressive, right? I'm going to bring drunk girls up on my bus and f***, right? I think right. That's the bottom line of all of this. Mm-hmm. Just reading through it all. That's me not being politically correct, giving him the time of day. Because I don't even give these dudes the time of day. Because like I said, they're in a power position. And they get people to do what they want just because they have that, quote, 5 minutes of fame or whatever. So this fucking guy has the audacity to sue his rape accuser.
Man, this is so messed up.
For real money. Like, fucking
wow.
And here's the other piece of advice. If you're a person listening to this, or who has a young daughter or a friend or a niece or a cousin, never let them get on the tour bus.
No.
Never let them get on the tour bus. I wouldn't even go on the fucking tour bus half the time. Anyway, not really a metal band, but just putting that out there as some awareness. That guy, and don't ever do that. Don't put yourself in that situation. And if you are in that situation,
well, the
get out.
The rule to remember is if you can't have a coherent conversation with the person, you probably shouldn't be trying to have sex with them.
Well, they just dropped her off on the side of the street. They basically picked her up, they f***ed around with her, whatever they did, and then they were like, all right, bye. And then she was like, I don't want to get out. And they like dragged her out of the car, left her on the f***ing side of the road.
Wow.
So, yeah, good job, guys.
She's not a real doll. So Every Time I Die, Andy from Every Time I Die, he is now a wrestler. So he, right. Yeah, he's been training, and he made his debut this past week for Smash Wrestling.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so
I want to play this video, but there's no real, it just sounds like a guy getting choke slammed. I mean, we can play it. Let's see what it sounds like. Oh, so he slaps him, and then the big guy grabs by the neck. Oh, yep, he ate it. That was real.
Choke slam.
That's not fake. He's rolling around on the ground. So in his debut, he got choke slammed. It's a good way to start.
Damn.
Good job,
cool.
Dude.
He's a big dude, and I could see him f***ing someone up.
Yeah, man, no joke. Rad.
I feel like in those smaller leagues too, like they probably actually do f*** each other up a little more.
Oh yeah.
There's less riding on it, you know. There's not some big contract from WWE where they're like,
they also got to impress.
Break my leg. Yeah, exactly.
It's like college basketball, you know, they really got to put they got to show that they're legit, so they put a lot more into it and they fucking murder themselves in front of 8 people.
Yeah, let's not
for like $40.
Yeah. All right, now we'll see you next week. Walk off that broken ankle. So, the PRP reported today that Rockstar Energy Uproar Festival is not happening this year. So, there's no Uproar.
Shocker.
So, Mayhem Fest and Uproar, which was like its cousin, which is like the second incarnation of Sounds of the Underground, basically.
Yeah.
Which also came from Warped Tour. So, it's all kind of the same family? just branched out over the last few years.
Uproar is more like the radio rock kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm totally.
Mayhem's the metal.
Like, I went to one of the first Uproar Fest through KISW, and I'm pretty sure Avenged Sevenfold played.
I think so too, yeah.
I went to go see that. I went because it was free. And it was at the White River, and it was a nice day out in the sun.
Yeah. Hey, don't turn down a free show, man.
But Uproar is not happening this year. Mayhem Fest is happening. That's coming up on the 30th of this month, I believe. The next couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So, John Reese is the guy who runs Mayhem Fest, is the founder of Mayhem Fest, who also is very hands-on, and as we've mentioned in podcasts past, is the guy who helps us at on-site do our stage announcements and stuff.
Hell yeah.
So he's that involved with it. He's not sitting in some f***ing office somewhere. He did an interview recently where he mentioned that he would love to see a reunited Pantera play Mayhem Fest with a new guitar player.
That who would be wouldn't?
Awesome.
He quotes,
kind of.
Have
says,
Zach do it.
Quote, well, with somebody on guitar, obviously. I think that hopefully it happens. I think the fans deserve it, and who knows what the three remaining guys have to say. Well, we all know what they have to say. But I think it would be badass to see Pantera out there. First of all, Vinnie Paul would say no. He goes on to say, I've even approached them about doing it. Do I think it's going to happen? I have no idea. I know that a heavy, heavy tragedy happened, and there are some hard feelings, but it's up to those three dudes to decide if they ever want to do something or not. If they would decide to do it, I would support it wholeheartedly, and I would do whatever I could to be involved, but it's up to them. So he's pretty much said that he offered Pantera to play Mayhem Fest.
I think that...
That'd be a little weird. They'd have to change the name, like Pantera Inc., or like some variation.
I think Pantera reuniting should be its own thing, and not part of Mayhem Festival. If they're ever going to do it, it should just be its own festival, its own tour, or its own just standalone show.
I think it should be their own fest and their own tour, and I think that they should do it with bands that meant something to them. Like, they should do it with their friends' bands, and they should do it with bands that they were touring with back in the day, and they should make it a legitimate thing. Make it a celebration of life, kind of like the Death DTA tours, you know? Make it a really legit thing.
Exactly. I don't know. We'll find out, man. he gave it a shot, though. I mean, for what it's worth, I haven't even had time to digest the idea of that, really, but it's interesting. Huh. There was a festival in Germany, a metal fest. It's called Rock Am Ring Festival in Germany.
Yeah.
And
lightning struck.
33 people were hospitalized after lightning struck the festival, not once, but twice.
Jesus.
Twice you got struck by lightning. 33 people had to go to the hospital after lightning struck the grounds at Rock Am Ring Festival in Mendig, Germany. The first strike, which landed around 1 a.m. just after Marilyn Manson had left the stage. God is dead. Injured 8 crew members backstage. Afterwards, people were urged to head under lightning-proof tents. Okay. A second strike hit about 4 a.m., injuring another 25 people. Thankfully, no one was seriously hurt, and the festival closed out with performances by Motorhead, Lamb of God, and more. So, lightning struck.
Jesus.
Twice. Once backstage, once out in the crowd. Is this the kind of fest where they're going 24 hours a day?
I think so.
Because it said that struck at 1 and 4 a.m. Are they still f***ing playing music at 4 a.m.? Is it the kind of thing where you take naps and then go see what you want and then... It's weird.
That's gnarly.
Because a lot of these bands aren't from this country, so they're like, whatever, it's noon in my country. I'll play at 4 a.m. I don't give a f***.
That was God being like, oh, you want to watch Lamb of God and Marilyn Manson and Motorhead?
You better run!
Run, bitch!
Blah-dah!
Okay, so... All right, so there was actually some attendees at the festival called Rocklahoma, and they are they're missing, and they were last seen on Friday, May 22nd, on their way to Rocklahoma in Pryor, Oklahoma, and their names are Ben Babar and Cody Perrick. Their pictures are on MetalSucks.net.
Yeah, these have been floating around for a little while. So, they were found in a car submerged in a boat ramp. The police suspect no foul play, but it's just weird.
It's a bummer.
So a couple of dudes that were going to a fest got stuck in a car or something happened. Either they parked on the thing and didn't have their brake on and went to sleep, or they were all wasted, which is the likely case. But it's just sad to see, man. Shadows Fall announced they challenged their, quote, shortest hiatus ever record and announced that they're playing some summer shows. They announced last August they were taking a hiatus, and less than 8 months later, they are back. Saturday, August 22nd, Shadows Fall will be headlining the Big Kahuna Festival in Providence, Rhode Island. So Shadows Fall is back. Who knows whether they're going to be writing a new record or whatever, but they're still around. So fear not if you're a Shadows Fall fan. Smack your face and smack yourself in the face with some dreadlocks.
Huh. So they're, you know, they might not be doing extensive touring outside of the East Coast, but apparently they're into doing stuff right in their backyard, which is cool. You know, I mean,
baby steps. We'll
see. Yeah, exactly.
There's a video that came up this week called "Watch Old People React to Slipknot." It's 9 minutes long, but let's see how it starts. Let's see. Elders React to Music is the video series. This episode, Slipknot. So let's see what they have to say.
This is weird. Oh my gosh. What is he saying?
The looks, dude.
What kind of group is this? The Slipknot, man.
They are really going for it.
They are jumping, boy, I'll tell you.
I tell you. Corey Taylor, that boy ain't right.
Sounds like noise to me. You have a learn to die. I
have a chain of pain. The blood was in my bones. I can hear father or mother saying, is this my child?
Wow, I wish I was at this concert.
See that guy? I'll hang out with that guy. Mostly just a bunch of confused looks. The mic there.
It's not my type of music and never will be.
It makes you want to jump up and down, like, wow. Why the mask?
Oh, man, I loved it. Give me more.
That dude rules.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's almost scary.
Somebody's hooded.
You see, us elders, we ain't into this.
Ooh. Scary.
Step inside and die.
My goodness. Ooh! Is he eating himself?
Is he eating himself?
No wonder there's only six people out there.
These guys are headbanging.
How much fun was this?
Gee, that's tons of fun, isn't it?
This is sick. Wow, that's pretty violent there.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, anyway, I'm going to grab this, and I'm going to post this right now to the Metal Shop page, because
that's great.
That's too good. That's too good to be true.
Us elders, we're not into this.
Yeah, this isn't our... That's not my kind of music, and it never will be.
Well, this might be more up there, Allie. Ben Woods did a cover, a flamenco cover of Judas Priest Breaking the Law, and it was posted this past week. He has flamenco Metallica covers, but he busted this one out. And it went viral this week.
It's so good. I would just empty my wallet out to this guy if I saw him on the street corner.
This video rules.
Oh, dude, it's just him breaking the law in a bunch of dumb f***ing ways. Like he's like standing in a no trespassing area.
Jaywalking.
Parking in a no parking zone. Smoking in a no smoking area. He cuts the tag off his mattress. It's great. Anyway, we should play this on Metal Shop tonight, man. Let's get weird. We get to do whatever the f*** we want. We might as well do it, you know? Somebody will get a kick out of it.
I'm down.
It's a good summertime song, man. Be like, ooh, I want to sip on a drink out of a coconut.
I want to listen to an album of this. Yeah, well, grill, you know?
apparently he does a lot of this stuff. He did a flamenco Metallica, and this is him doing a flamenco Priest. Him
illegal downloading.
With a chihuahua on his lap. Oh god, this guy fucking rips. Yeah, check that out. In fact, I'm gonna post that. The other video, the watching Slipknot, old people watching Slipknot, I'll post that to the KSW page. Ryan, if you can grab this and post this to the Metal Shop page, that would be awesome.
Can do.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
I like that.
Guitar Hero Live is going to be coming out. Guitar Hero, immensely popular. What was it, like PS2?
Yeah,
Xbox. Xbox Live.
It had to have been like 2001, and when it came out, everyone was like, "Holy shit! I can play guitar to other songs." It's like karaoke for guitar players.
So there's going to be the new one, and it's going to be for next gen systems. And MetalSucks.net is reported that there is now a song listing for this, and it's got some pretty good ones. Alice in Chains, some Bullet for My Valentine, Wolf Mother, Queen, Weezer, Deep Valley, Angus and Julia Stone, Catfish and the Bottlemen, Neon Trees, New Politics, Pantera, Cowboys from Hell,
Catfish and the Bottlemen,
Judas Priest, Rage Against the Machine, Black Veil Brides, Pierce the Veil, The Black Keys, Blitz Kids, Ed Sheeran, Fall Out Boy, Gary Clark Jr., Green Day, Killers, Lumineers, My Chemical Romance, Rolling Stones, Skrillex.
What?
Yeah.
Weird.
The War on Drugs, Sleigh Bells, System of a Down, Alter Bridge, Alt-J, Broken Bells, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Pretty Reckless, Deftones, Marilyn Manson, Killswitch Engage, Mastodon, Bring Me the Horizon, Of Mice and Men, Trivium, Royal Blood, Vista Chino, and Marmosets.
That's cool.
Vista Chino making it on there. Some obscure stuff.
What?
The
thing is, I'm sure they'll probably take a page out of the Rock Band thing and just have, like, every week, check out all these weird, obscure bands you can download a song that you can play along to.
Yeah.
And this goes back to the argument we had a couple months ago. I'd still rather have it be on Rocksmith so little kids learn how to play the fucking guitar for real.
But, let's get some at the gates on that bitch.
There you go. There's an
some
article
burzum.
Here. I don't know. Wow. And there's an article here, another editorial from Metal Sucks. Doc Coyle from God Forbid wonders, did Pantera ruin modern metal album production forever? And the start of this is valid, and he said that Dime had what he would call a, quote, good-bad guitar tone. Like, in that it was good, but it was just weird and shitty enough to become signature, to become a signature tone so that whenever you hear a riff, you're like, oh, that's Pantera. Oh, that's Dime. I know that's Dime. Like, and especially Ryan, anybody that's got, like, that sonic ear for recording and stuff like that, who spent, like, as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, that's Dime.
And there's some guitar players that are instantly recognizable by their tone alone, even if they're playing outside of their band or anything else. And like,
Jeff Loomis would be one of those.
Loomis would be one of those. The big one that I was going to say would be Typo Negative.
Okay.
And every single instrument in that band, very specific tone that you recognize right off the bat. Kind of shitty in a weird way, but it's very much their thing.
He went on to say that, you know, it's the kind of thing that kind of took over metal in the 90s, and when, you know, you crank the gain up on everything and just try and, you know, do an American style of what is basically like the Gothenburg sound on like an HM2. He said that the nutshell of this, and I'm not going to read it all, and Doc says in his own words that, quote, what was once a unique and singular sonic vision by a band called Pantera became in many ways the default sound for metal, which is a valid criticism, as they go on to say. And, you know, in my opinion, like, if that's what it was going to be in the 90s, I would rather have the default sound for metal come from Pantera than a lot of other fucking bands. So I'm not even going to get mad about it, but I think he's right, man. That's kind of what a lot of people shoot for. Maybe except for, you know, Dark Throne. They're probably doing their own thing, but you just...
Dave Grohl, he's a badass. He might not be too metal, but he has... this story was all over my Facebook, and it was just super funny. He was performing a concert live on stage in Gothenburg, Sweden, speaking of Gothenburg, and he was playing... it was June 12th, so it was just yesterday. He fractured his leg live on stage, had a huge fall, and he kept playing the show.
So he went and I guess apparently he went backstage, they slapped a quick cast on it, and he was back playing again in about 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, here, let's prevent your broken leg from poking through your skin real quick. And he's like, ah, fuck it.
Wheel me back out on stage.
So Taylor from the Foo Fighters continued on while he was getting the cast, and he was back in like 15 minutes. And yeah, so they've had to cancel some gigs.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you broke your leg right then and there, and you're like, "Well, we're here."
Yeah,
I wonder if it doesn't say whether it happened early in the set or late in the set. I'm sure it had to have happened early enough where he was like, "Well."
And a Foo Fighters set is not a short set.
Well, here's the thing. Remember a few months ago when we were talking about how much bands made?
Mm-hmm.
And at that fest down in Brazil, Foo Fighters walked with $5 million. So he's like, how much is my broken leg worth?
It's not worth $5 million.
I'm going to suck it up and play the fucking show.
And be like the hero that's what, like, people are like, oh my God, he fucking.
Yeah, two for one.
Did it with
two
a broken
for one
leg.
For Dave Grohl. Somebody else brought up on another page that I was following earlier, yeah, that ain't shit compared to Phil Anselmo ODing and then coming back to play their set.
That's not as novel.
It's like, yeah, that's a different way to look at it.
That's
but.
So fucked up. Damn it, man.
I mean, remember that guy from Valenfire that stepped off the stage at that Converge show, that At the Gates?
Oh, man, that was
a
bummer.
Yeah, stop.
Dude, the more impressive one for me was...
They weren't making $5 million.
Yeah, the guy, I can't remember what band it was, or the dude had a hysterical name, the guy who took a T-shirt, Cannon T-shirt, to the ball bag.
Oh, yeah.
And finished the set with his nuts the size of grapefruits, man.
Jesus Christ.
Poor dude.
So gnarly.
So, I mean, good for him. Good for him. Honestly, I'm surprised that it had to have not been that bad. If it was like a compound fracture, he would have been like, get me the fuck out of here.
All of a sudden, Foo Fighters would have sounded hella metal.
Yeah, bring back Probot. See what happens. Anyway, I'm glad he'll be all right, man. He'll just be playing in gimp mode for a little while. Oh, more details are emerging about Lamb of God's new record, Sturm und Drang. Is that German? Sturm und Drang?
Yeah, it sounds like German.
I think that's a German, and I feel like that's a World War II German term from the war.
Yeah, I think so.
We need to figure that out because we're ignorant Americans. Anyway, more details about their new record, talking about some of the people that are going to be doing guest appearances on it. Some of them are going to be members of the Deftones and Dillinger Escape Plan.
Hmm.
So it's going to be Chino from the Deftones is going to be on a song called Embers.
Cool.
And let me see who else is going to be on here. I'm trying to see. I'm trying to scan this interview real quick to see where I can find where he's talking about Dillinger. Oh, Greg. Yeah. So the two guest vocalists are Chino and Greg, respectively, from the Deftones and Dillinger Escape Plan. So there you go.
Ginger Baker from the band Cream, the drummer who also played in Blind Faith and Public Image Limited, says that he absolutely detests heavy metal. He calls it an abortion. He said that he explains that he finds people that dress up in spandex trousers with the extraordinary makeup incredibly repulsive.
I get that. I do get that. Although I feel like he's stuck in metal from 1986. Not many bands do that anymore unless you're going to see like either Priest or Steel Panther. Who both came together on tour last time, ironically.
Apparently, there's a pretty funny 2013 documentary called Beware of Mr. Baker, and it's about Ginger Baker, and it kind of shows him as a chain-smoking, profanity-spewing, mean-spirited, entitled, grouchy, vile, and self-destructive man.
Well, he doesn't he have a vocoder? Doesn't he?
Let's take a look.
I can't.
Looks like it to me.
Huh.
But,
well, here's the thing. Like, in a Rolling Stone interview from 2012... When Bill Ward exited the exited the band, aka got the boot from Black Sabbath, Rick Rubin wanted Ginger Baker to play in Black Sabbath. This guy who's now saying I detest heavy metal. Tony Iommi told the magazine, "quote I thought bloody hell, I just couldn't see that." So they hired Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine.
Wow, he
was almost in Black Sabbath.
He says some pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, he's just a cranky old fucking coot. He's a coot. He's an old coot. Like one of those cartoon old coots. Like the grandpa in King of the Hill.
Iron Maiden Steve Harris is going to be touring with British Lion. It's his solo side project. He's going to have a 22-date UK tour starting on July 29th. And so he is doing a solo thing. He's like, you know, Iron Maiden, I can let them sit back. I got my own thing going.
You guys ever listen to British Line?
I've never really.
Yeah, I never really have you. It's like electric acoustic and bass. This is live, obviously. Yeah, I'm already over it. Good for him. Do your thing, Steve Harris. Do your thing. Do you, boo-boo.
He was wearing a t-shirt that says whales, beef, oil, and hookers.
Sweet. Judas Priest's Richie Faulkner says that they're definitely talking about making another Judas Priest record. He said he's always got ideas, always got some ideas recorded in the back in the dressing room. It might be Priest stuff. It might be something completely different, but you never know. And so...
So he's definitely kind of maybe thinking about possibly making another Judas Priest.
Well, Redeemer of Souls just came out last summer. It hasn't even been a year yet. July, it'll be a year. But, you know, that was their follow-up to 2008 Nostradamus. So if they're going to put out a new record, I don't know, you should probably do it before you guys break up. Didn't you guys say that you were going to stop touring and stop doing everything? And
yeah.
Remember, we called that. We were like, oh, yeah, of course they're going to fucking break up. No, of course they're not. You're going to keep doing it because they're Judas Priest, and the world needs Judas Priest. God damn it.
We need ya. World Dane is saying that they would not make another Nevermore record without Jeff Loomis. Yeah. They conducted an interview with him, and Lenny and Worrell said that, nope, they wouldn't do it without him. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty obvious. He definitely wrote most of the guitar stuff, right? Like, he wrote the Nevermore music. So why would you do it without...
Nevermore is Jeff Loomis.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Well, it's Nevermore is Loomis and Worrell. Because it's the voice. The voice of Nevermore. So, yes and no. And Lenny's in there, too. He's from Sanctuary, you know, all that stuff. So we'll find out. It'll probably happen, but it's going to take time now, especially since Loomis is doing Arch Enemy stuff. So much Arch Enemy stuff. And they just got Summer Slaughter. It's next on their list. So we'll see what happens. Vice Spain just recently spoke to a man named Fernando Leal. He's a Spanish Iron Maiden fan who's claimed to have seen the band 230 times.
Whoa.
That's a lot of times, man. You might not think that number 230 is a lot, but seeing a band like Maiden 230 times, A, probably not that cheap. It's a lot of money you spend on Maiden tickets.
Damn.
And, probably seeing them all over the world. So here he says he first got into Maiden in 87 when he was 16, shortly after they got after they put out the Somewhere in Time record, got to witness their first concert at the Rockadromo Festival in Madrid, then spent the next three decades following Maiden to faraway places such as Mexico and Australia and everywhere in between. He says, this is how I spend my vacations. Why would I sit on a beach for 15 days? That'd be a complete waste of time. See, here's the other thing that he goes on to say, and this is a very big caveat. He said, I don't have kids, a car, a mortgage, or whatever, so I have some extra money. Yeah, I'd say that probably helps, saving some money. For various health reasons, I don't drink either, so I actually don't go out that much. I just make sure to book tickets early, and most of the time I sleep in the airport. It's cheaper. My trip to India and Dubai actually only lasted 4 days. I went to go see Maiden in India.
Wow.
So this guy is he says, the day I get bored at a concert, I'll stop going.
Huh.
All right.
Cheers to you.
Going to see Maiden all over the world.
Fernando Leal. 230 times.
Whoa.
In 30 years. All over the world. It's cool.
So, all right. So Metal Hammer has the Golden Gods Awards. Oh, and in God. The first time ever... They have announced who the Golden God is before the event, and this year the Golden God will be Megadeth main man Dave Mustaine.
Like anybody needs to pump this guy's ego up.
He's not golden. He's red hair. He's a ginger. He's a ginger god.
He's the closest one. Closest to golden.
Ginger god.
He's going to accept the award. Hey, Dave, this is for you.
Real Dave.
So the 30th anniversary of Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good is coming up here. It was made
this week.
Yeah, all right, June 12th. So, 30 years since that record came out. He is a ginger god. What's up, dude?
What's up, ginger god?
Ginger god.
You guys see that Shia LaBeouf inspirational speech?
Fantastic.
Just do it. Apparently, the whole speech is a half an hour long.
Really?
It's 29 minutes.
Damn, dude.
From what I've seen. So let's play this, the only appropriate Metal Shop version. Hardcore Shia LaBeouf. Just do it. With the head, the muscle poses. This is for inspiration at the gym. We could cover this like Judd.
Wow.
I want to see if this goes anywhere. There it is. Is writing this music that easy?
Oh, yeah.
Stop giving up.
I feel like Henry Rollins would approve of this spiel.
Do it. Yeah, it's pretty weird. This
but
guy,
Shia LaBeouf.
This guy got weird for a long time.
Wow. Just do it. Okay. Easy for you to say when you have a shitload of money.
Just do it. Yeah, I'll buy. Just buy it. You want that car? Just buy it. I need some new shoes. Buy them. I want a hamburger. Buy it. All right.
This week on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, we're going to go a little bit deeper like we always do, but Ian's going to keep it short and sweet and to the point. It's brutal poetry too hot for radio, this week featuring anal c***. Face it, you're a metal band. Take it away, Ian.
You're not f***ing hardcore. You're not avant-garde. You're not punk rock. You're just a f***ing retard. You're not something special. You're not something new. You're not f***ing good. Face it, you're a metal band.
That's right, Face It, You're a Metal Band, by Anal and the one and only Seth Putnam. Rest in peace.
Face it. Rest in hell.
So, yeah, rest in no peace. So, what we're
going
to...
Rest with a pineapple up your butt.
Satan. So, I think we're going to transition here a little bit into some Christopher Lee.
Yeah, let's do it. This is Christopher Lee reading the original poem that Tim Burton wrote for The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Sweet.
Rest in peace, Christopher Lee.
See you later.
It was late one fall in Halloween land, and the air had quite a chill. Against the moon, a skeleton sat alone upon a hill. He was tall and thin, with a bat bow tie. Jack Skellington was his name. He was tired and bored in Halloween land. Everything was always the same. I'm sick of the scaring, the terror, the fright. I'm tired of being something that goes bump in the night. I'm bored with leering my horrible glances, and my feet hurt from dancing those skeleton dances. I don't like graveyards, and I need something new. There must be more to life than just yelling boo. Then out from a grave with a curl and a twist came a whimpering, whining, spectral mist. It was a little ghost dog with a faint little bark and a jack-o'-lantern nose that glowed in the dark. It was Jack's dog, Zero, the best friend he had. But Jack hardly noticed, which made Zero sad. All that night and through the next day, Jack wandered and walked. He was filled with dismay. Then, deep in the forest, just before night, Jack came upon an amazing sight. Not 20 feet from the spot where he stood were three massive doorways carved in wood. He stood before them, completely in awe, his gaze transfixed by one special door. Entranced and excited, with a slight sense of worry, Jack opened the door to a white, windy flurry. Jack didn't know it, but he'd fallen down in the middle of a place called Christmas Town. Immersed in the light, Jack was no longer haunted. He had finally found the feeling he wanted. And so that his friends wouldn't think him a liar, he took the present-filled stockings that hung by the fire. He took candy and toys that were stacked on the shelves and a picture of Santa with all of his elves. He took lights and ornaments and the star from the tree. And from the Christmas Town sign, he took the big letter C. He picked up everything that sparkled or glowed. He even picked up a handful of snow. He grabbed it all, and without being seen, he took it all back to Halloween. Back in Halloween, a group of Jack's peers stared in amazement at his Christmas souvenirs. For this wondrous vision, none were prepared. Most were excited, though a few were quite scared. For the next few days, while it lightninged and thundered, Jack sat alone and obsessively wondered, why is it they get to spread laughter and cheer while we stalk the graveyards, spreading panic and fear? Well, I could be Santa, and I could spread cheer. Why does he get to do it year after year? Outraged by injustice, Jack thought, and he thought. Then he got an idea. Yes, yes, why not? In Christmas Town, Santa was making some toys when through the din he heard a soft noise. He answered the door, and to his surprise, he saw weird little creatures in strange disguise. They were altogether ugly and rather petite. As they opened their sacks, they yelled, "Trick or treat!" Then a confused Santa was shoved into a sack and taken to Halloween to see Mastermind Jack. In Halloween, everyone gathered once more, for they'd never seen a Santa before. And as they cautiously gazed at this strange old man, Jack related to Santa his masterful plan. "My dear Mr. Claus, I think it's a crime that you've got to be Santa all the time. But now, I will give presents, and I will spread cheer. We're changing places. I'm Santa this year. It is I who will say Merry Christmas to you. So you may lie in my coffin, creak doors, and yell boo! And please, Mr. Claus, don't think ill of my plan, for I'll do the best Santa job that I can." And though Jack and his friends thought they'd do a good job, their idea of Christmas was still quite macabre. They were packed up and ready on Christmas Eve day when Jack hitched his reindeer to his sleek coffin sleigh. But on Christmas Eve, as they were about to begin, a Halloween fog slowly rolled in. Jack said, "We can't leave. This fog's just too thick. There will be no Christmas, and I can't be Saint Nick." Then a small glowing light pierced through the fog. What could it be? It was Zero, Jack's dog. Jack said, "Zero, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?" And to be so needed was Zero's great dream, so he joyously flew to the head of the team. And as the skeletal sleigh started its ghostly flight, Jack cackled, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night." 'Twas the nightmare before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was peaceful, not even a mouse. The stockings, all hung by the chimney with care, when opened that morning, would cause quite a scare. The children, all nestled so snug in their beds, would have nightmares of monsters and skeleton heads. The moon that hung over the new-fallen snow cast an eerie pall over the city below. And Santa Claus' laughter now sounded like groans, and the jingling bells like chattering bones. And what to their wondering eyes should appear but a coffin sleigh with skeleton deer and a skeletal driver so ugly and sick they knew in a moment this can't be Saint Nick. From house to house, with a true sense of joy, Jack happily issued each present and toy. From rooftop to rooftop, he jumped and he skipped, leaving presents that seemed to be straight from a crypt. Unaware that the world was in panic and fear, Jack merrily spread his own brand of cheer. He visited the house of Susie and Dave. They got a Gumby and Pokey from the grave. Then onto the home of little Jane Neiman. She got a baby doll possessed by a demon. A monstrous train with tentacle tracks. A ghoulish puppet wielding an axe. A man-eating plant disguised as a wreath. And a vampire teddy bear with very sharp teeth. There were screams of terror, but Jack didn't hear it. He was much too involved with his own Christmas spirit. Jack finally looked down from his dark, starry frights and saw the commotion, the noise, and the light. Why, they're celebrating. It looks like such fun. They're thanking me for the good job that I've done. But what he thought were fireworks meant as goodwill were bullets and missiles intended to kill. Then amidst the barrage of artillery fire, Jack urged Zero to go higher and higher. And away they all flew like the storm of a thistle until they were hit by a well-guided missile. And as they fell on the cemetery way out of sight, it was heard, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Jack pulled himself up on a large stone cross, and from there he reviewed his incredible loss. "I thought I could be Santa. I had such belief." Jack was confused and filled with great grief. Not knowing where to turn, he looked toward the sky. Then he slumped on the grave and he started to cry. And as Zero and Jack lay crumpled on the ground, they suddenly heard a familiar sound. "My dear Jack," said Santa, "I applaud your intent. I know wreaking such havoc was not what you meant. And so you were sad and feeling quite blue. But taking over Christmas was the wrong thing to do. I hope you realize Halloween's the right place for you. There's a lot more, Jack, that I'd like to say, but now I must hurry. But it's almost Christmas Day." Then he jumped in his sleigh, and with a wink of an eye, he said, "Merry Christmas!" And he bid them goodbye. Back home, Jack was sad. But then, like a dream, Santa brought Christmas to the land of Halloween.
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.